The following is a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its owners, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.
Money Talks, the show that gives you the tools to navigate a challenging economy, help you build and protect your wealth, and provide timely news and information to manage your money. Here's the host of Money Talks, Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group on 1590 WAKR.
What did you order all this rain for?
I don't know what I was thinking. I thought maybe we could use it to bring flowers, but it's not April anymore. April showers bring me flowers now.
Yeah. It's not going to be June very much longer either.
No, it's just crazy. That is crazy.
What a month. I mean,
I know.
You haven't been able to go, families haven't been able to go to the pool swimming. You've had rain almost every single day. It's just, yeah.
I got projects I want to do outside, and every time I think maybe I'll do it today. Oh, no, you won't.
Yeah.
It's raining again.
Exactly.
My brother said his garden looks like a swamp. It's just like everything's just buried. It's where he's going to just drown everything out. Yeah.
Yeah, swamps are, for many of us, you know, I've been invaded by the weeds.
Yeah, and you can't get out there and pull them out because it's just like, what the heck? Apparently, they don't have a problem with all this rain.
No, not at all.
Woo-wee.
But, yeah, and this whole weekend kind of seems to be a washout at this point. So
yeah, it's like, and it's all, I'll just say from my personal perspective, it's a bad hair day waiting to happen every time it rains. And it's like, come on.
Yeah, and what's in a week? We've got July the 4th, which by many people's midsummer.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of go, oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. I know, and it would be interesting to see if it, you know, it's a washout, literally, for some of the parades and the fireworks displays and stuff.
Yeah.
Although I will say, if we do fireworks, having the ground a little wet is probably more safe than having it super dry.
You know, probably
so
a good
start
thing.
Some kind of weird fires or something, you know. Maybe there's a good light in this. Yeah.
Yes. Well, good morning, everyone. I am your host, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. This is Money Talks, and thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning, the last Saturday of June, the 27th, 2015, as we take a look at the markets that ended up on a mixed note yesterday with the Dow Jones up 56 points, closed at 17,946. It was a losing week for the indexes as the Dow is positive now, just 0.69% since the beginning of the year. The NASDAQ was down just under 32 points, closed at 5080. The S&P 500 was down just a fraction, closed at 2101, and it is positive now for the year, 2.1%. We saw that natural gas was down 7 cents, closed at $2.77. We saw that oil, the West Texas Intermediate, was down 7 cents. It's again back under $60 at $59.63 a barrel. We saw the Brent crude was up 6 cents. It closed at $63.26 a barrel. Gas futures were down a penny to $2.04 at the pumps. Yep, $2.89 is what it's going to cost for a gallon of regular unleaded. Gold was up $1.40 to close at $1,172.90 an ounce. Silver down a nickel, $15.80. The VIX, the volatility index measure, closed up a penny to $14.02. And at the bond market, we see the 2 years at 0.71%, the 10-year up to 2.48%, and the 30-year 3.24%. On the economic front, we saw the Commerce Department reported that the U.S. economy contracted at a 0.2% sequentially in the first quarter, upwardly revised from the 0.7% drop previously estimated. Personal income climbed by 0.5% in May. That was matching the upwardly revised increase seen in April. And on the economic front, the National Association of Realtors reported that existing home sales rose by 5.1% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 5.35 million units in May. Single-family sales were up 5.6%. compared to a 1.6% climb in sales of condominium and co-ops. Inventories rose 3.2% month over month to 2.29 million units, with inventory measured in months of sales at 5.1 months. The median price of an existing home rose 7.9% year over year, up to $228,700. And with orders of transportation equipment showing another steep drop, Commerce Department released a report on Tuesday showing that new orders for U.S. manufactured durable goods fell by more than expected in May. The report said durable goods orders tumbled by 1.8% in May. That's following a revised 1.5% decrease in April. We also had, if you've been listening at all to the media, two big court decisions by the Supreme Court this week. I want to give a little commentary on the one concerning the Affordable Health Care Act. I'm a bit disappointed in the way that this turned out. Not going to debate if it is good or bad as far as the Affordable Health Care Act, but we started this way back years ago with Nancy Pelosi at the 12th hour in Congress saying, pass it and we can see what's in it later, starting the program, and finding that what was written in there, and this was back in the fall of last year, finding that there were certain things that were written purposely in the bill to encourage states to form their own insurance exchanges, which 38 of them did not do. And yet we have, by George Will's own words here, the Supreme Court is now legislating, not judging. And this decision really concerns me with the way that it turned out, because we have them trying to read the minds of what our congressmen and senators really wanted instead of what was actually written. As it was written by Mr. Roberts, it contains more than a few examples of inartful drafting that in his artful way of treating inartful as a synonym for inconvenient or even self-defeating. You know, we're supposed to have separation of powers, and it looks like all of the branches of government now are all working together to get what is wanted by the White House and get it done. And it's just very disturbing the way that this is taking place. You know, I don't want to make any assumptions or anything else, but, you know, what makes us any different than a lot of the governments around the world that are not on the up and up? And I find this very discouraging at the outcome of this. Again, I don't want to debate good or bad or anything else, just the way that the process took place. Certain verbiage was used. It was used purposely. And we have the Supreme Court's now ruling legislatively instead of judging if it was right or wrong. That's not their job. Their job is to judge, not to legislate. And so I find it very disturbing. Looking at some other things here, let's go ahead. We've got another article this week talking about, the IRS deletes key learner emails. Oh, by mistake. A government watchdog says critical evidence, including emails in the investigation of former Internal Revenue Service employee Lois Lerner and the IRS targeting scandal, were destroyed. The Treasury Inspector General says some 422 backup tapes were erased and 24,000 emails lost around March 4th of 2014. That watchdog said the destruction was not intentional. Destroying the backup tapes occurred despite a preservation order issued 10 months earlier designed to prevent such a loss of evidence. The destruction of evidence also occurred about 3 weeks before IRS Commissioner John Koshigan testified on Capitol Hill that he would provide documents to Congress. Treasury Inspector General J. Russell George has been investigating allegations that the IRS targeted conservative groups and Tea Party organizations for extra scrutiny when they applied for tax-exempt status during the 2010 and 2012 elections. George and Deputy Inspector General Timothy Camas are testifying Thursday before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee on the Lerner emails today, according to written testimony. The IRS has maintained that the hard drive on Lerner's computer was destroyed and no information was available as a result. However, the IRS didn't investigate other sources such as Lerner's BlackBerry or laptops. One of the things that we're going to hear from Inspector General today is that five of the six sources where they could find these emails. The IRS did not even look, and yet we have heard multiple testimonies from the IRS commissioner saying, we're working so hard, we've got all these people, we're spending millions of dollars, we're taking all the resources. Well, they didn't even look into the most obvious places, like her phone. And so here we go again with more government corruption. And with that, we've got a good show for you in store. We'll be right back after these commercial breaks.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And as we welcome you back on this Saturday morning, you're listening to Money Talks. And of course, what's been in the news again this past week? It's been Greece. Grease, grease, more grease.
Grease, you're not grease. Talking like bacon grease. You're talking
no,
grease.
The country grease.
The country.
Yes, and it's been the same thing this time of year for 5 years now. Another emergency meeting today concerning Greece with the European Union leaders. And are they going to work out a deal with the creditors, or are they going to make their payments on the 30th, their 6 June payments that are due on the 30th? Are they going to kick the can down the road? You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I think at this point, when we look at it, the majority of the Greece people want to stay in the European Union, but of course their debt is so high. The only way that Greece can get out from underneath this is either to exit the European Union or to have the debt forgiven. Creditors right now are not willing to forgive the debt, basically just extend the amount of time that Greece has to pay for it. They're really not fixing the problem at this point. All they are is just kicking the can down the road again and again and again, instead of looking at what the problem is and finding a resolution to the problem. People in Greece, of course, are very upset at the austerity that they've been forced to take on. And, of course, the taxpayers in Germany are tired of paying for early retirees in Greece. I mean, it's certainly something that makes very good sense to most people out there. So we'll keep you updated and see what happens, because a lot's going to take place over the weekend here. We'll find out Monday, and certainly the markets, I think, are going to react quite heavily to whatever that decision is. And in the meantime, as we take a look at some of the other things to look at, U.S. News World Report put out an article this past week, the 3 economic trends that matter to investors the most in the year's second half. As we take a look, the U.S. economy is on the mend. Finally, the global economic crisis of 2008 and recession appears to be in the rearview mirror, they say. As we take a look at the Federal Reserve's chairman, Janet Yellen, they're on track to begin raising rates this year. The Fed's ultra-loose monetary policy stance, which is near 0% interest rates, has served its purpose, and the central bank is signaling the economy is strong enough to handle the gradual move higher in interest rates. First thing we need to look at, of course, is GDP growth. Overall domestic GDP growth for 2015 will likely be in the area of 2.5%. That's following a 2.4% growth in 2014. Still below the historic norms of 3.5%. A key driver of this year's growth is the consumer. After all, consumer spending accounts for roughly 70% of all U.S. economic growth. What we're seeing is, for example, car and truck sales have been strong in 2015 with a forecast of near 18 million units. That's the highest level since the early 2000s. We have lower gas prices, which have been a boon to consumers, and certainly a lot has helped them to retire some of their debt and so forth. We also have to look at inflation. While low prices may sound good to consumers, they reveal a lack of demand in the overall economy. It's Economics 101. Higher demand drives up prices and generally reflects strong underlying economic activity. This matters to policyholders at the Federal Reserve because the central bank has been tasked by Congress with the so-called dual mandate of promoting maximum economic growth along with stable prices.
I'm going low prices. Where are these prices? Have you been grocery shopping lately?
You know, with the inflation, it's really sad that they manipulate the consumer price index. You know, here's what inflation is. Oh, minus energy and food prices. And you go.
Because I'm going, what is a low price? Because everything I seem to trip on is seems to cost way more or surprisingly high. And you're like, what? That costs that much? Are you kidding
Absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, if they were to figure this out, the CPI, the same way, the exact same way that they did in 1990, we'd actually be at 9% inflation right now.
Oh, really?
Not this 2.5%. And they just, you know, too many things are tied to the CPA, like Social Security increases and so forth.
They don't
forth.
Have yes. to give a Social Security a raise so
exactly.
they can figure out, oh, they're cooking the books, basically.
That's the way I look at it as, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Manipulating these numbers. People don't realize how these government numbers are manipulated so much to make the government's case, make it look mm-hmm. good. And when we look at this, of course, the last part of this is the labor market. Now, we are seeing the labor market improve. We're seeing people get jobs. And this is the last key when you're going to really start to see headline news inflation. Because as the employment number falls, more and more people are able to leave their jobs and go get a higher paying jobs, and employers are going to have to pay higher wages to get these employees. That starts your upward trend in inflation. I mean, real inflation that you start to see. Mm-hmm. On top of that, like
then
I mentioned,
wages might actually match how much it costs to buy stuff, though.
Well, temporarily, mm-hmm. Because they go up, but then inflation goes up faster. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, as I've mentioned on the show, is you take a look. We just saw that home health care workers over in Boston are going to get a minimum of $15 an hour now. You know, Los Angeles, the mayor raised the minimum wage to $15. This is only going to exacerbate the whole thing and really increase inflation at a much faster rate because if you raise people's pay, you have to raise prices, and then you also have to then raise other people's pay that are making higher dollar amounts to match and keep pace with it, which means higher prices again. And before you know it, the vicious cycle has circled around. You're making $15 an hour, but now your prices to pay for everything match the $15 an hour.
But you know, with the current situation, how are prices have been going up anyway, even though wages have been flat.
But now it'll reach across the board and all prices will start to rise. And so it's a vicious circle. Government manipulation of forcing minimum wages does not work. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to, in a free market society, if you have more to offer, you know, you're willing to work longer, work harder, get educated, get training, do whatever, you're worth more. You get paid
you
more.
You should be worth more.
Exactly.
That's the theory.
Yes. Doesn't always work.
Unless your uncle owns the company and his little slacker nephew or whatever.
So these are the things that we want to watch for the second half. Certainly the rate increase by the Fed is going to be the one that really has economists confused right now. Or is she going to raise in September? Are they going to wait in December? Are they going to do one in September and December? Or are they going to listen to Christine Lagarde of the IMF and wait until 2016? So it certainly is a mystery that we'll keep you updated on. And when we come back after the commercial breaks here, we have the joke of the week. And then we're going to talk about some facts about U.S. money. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks Joke of the Week. And this week, Sandy, after traveling on business, Tim thinks it would be nice to bring his girlfriend a little gift. How about some perfume? He asked the cosmetics clerk. Well, she shows him a $50 bottle. Well, that's a bit much, says Tim, so she returns with a smaller bottle for $30. Yeah, that's still quite a bit, Tim complains, growing annoyed. The clerk brings out a tiny $15 bottle. What I mean, says Tim, is that I'd like to see something really cheap. So the clerk hands him a mirror. Yeah.
Okay.
Way to go, Tim.
Well, do you find that to be in your business that some people are really, you know, real? I suppose cheap, but you know, there's a difference in investing, right? Where you're going to go for like the high dollar, high risk versus the I'm going to stay.
Well, you know, there's cheap and there's frugal and there's smart. There's all. Tim was cheap there.
Yes, that's right. Like, yeah.
Come on, Tim. Here, I'll give you a little dab. Take that home to her.
But there's
always, I mean, we all, you know, have to be smart about our money and you have to always look for your best deal and be smart and cut coupons. And I mean, any way that you can do it gets you ahead.
It is,
you
know? It is kind of a personal thing. I know my aunt, if she's listening, she's going to be like, why do you tell this story? But she said she finally got call waiting on her telephone and she said, it's going to cost me like $10 a month. So maybe I can just buy less potato chips. But that is an economic finance of your personal finance story. You know?
Yeah, everything.
That's kind of it. You buy less potato chips, then I can have call waiting.
Cause and effect, and you have to decide where your priorities are, what you're going to spend your money on.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have it all. And if you realize you can't have it all.
You can't have call waiting and potato chips.
Yeah, so therefore. Yeah. But facts about U.S. money. You know, when paper money was first printed in the U.S., the U.S. Department of Treasury first issued its paper, U.S. paper currency in 1862 to make up for the shortage of coins and to finance the Civil War. Now, there was a shortage of coins because people had started hoarding them. The uncertainty caused by the war had made the value of items fluctuate drastically. And because coins were made of gold and silver, their value didn't change much, so people wanted to hang on to them rather than buy items that might lose their value. Now, the first bills that were printed were in denominations of 1 cent, 5 cents, 25 cents, and 50 cents. And when you look at how long money lasts, it depends on the denomination. A $1 bill is going to last about 18 months. A $5 bill lasts about 2 years. $10 bill lasts about 3 years. A $20 bill will last approximately 4 years. $50 bill and $100 bills last about 9 years on average. Bills that get worn out from everyday use are taken out of circulation and replaced. Now, how much does $1 million weigh? Well, in $1 bills, it weighs about 2,026 pounds. And you're going to have about 454 notes in order to make that pound. When you look at how much money is printed each day, the Bureau of Engraving and Printing produces 38 million notes a day with a face value of approximately $541 million. Now, that doesn't mean that there's $541 million going into circulation. What 95% of that is replacing the already worn-out notes that are in circulation. About how many pennies were made? Well, one number, back in 1998, there were 10 billion pennies that were made.
Wow.
The actual number of coins produced by denomination was as follows. Pennies, it was 10.2 billion pennies. We had 1.3 billion nickels made, 2.3 billion dimes, 1.8 billion quarters, and about 30 million half dollars were made. What's money made of? Well, the coins are usually made of copper and another element, zinc or nickel, and the currency is composed of 25% linen and 75% cotton. Red and blue synthetic fibers of various lengths are distributed evenly throughout the paper, and before World War I, these fibers were actually made of silk. Now, when you look at a dollar bill, it's 2.61 inches wide and 6.14 inches long. and its thickness is 0.0043 inches. How do you like
anybody
that?
Anybody who'd like to check us on that,
yes.
Give us a call. Yeah.
And they're talking about putting a woman's portrait on the $10
bill. I've heard that, yes. I was kind of excited about that. I want to put myself in for the running.
Has a woman's portrait ever appeared on U.S. money? Well, the answer to that is yes. Martha Washington is the only woman whose portrait appeared on a U.S. currency note. It appeared on the face of the $1 silver certificate of 1886 and 1891.
Wow, we had Sacagawea, didn't we, on the coins?
On the coin, yes. Yeah. Yes, she's been on the coin.
But no, that's the only two women ever represented.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting who they would pick, though.
I'm sure with the committee, that's going to be debated for ever. Here's a little interesting fact for your Jeopardy people out there. What time is on the Independence Hall clock on the back of a $100 bill?
Oh, my.
Do you know that one?
No, I do not know that one.
4:10.
Why?
Well, it would be difficult to tell without a magnifying glass, but if you look at it, it's set at 10 after 4.
If you know that because you've actually looked at money with a magnifying glass, then you have way too much time on your hands.
Yes, I'll tell you. It is interesting, though, if you ever sit down and really look at the currency and, uh-huh. and the amount of information
well,
that's
and the
on
detail,
there. Yes.
The detail that's in there is really, it's kind of fascinating. Yeah, yeah.
But, now you know a little bit more about money.
And those new $100 bills, though, those are kind of cool.
Those are very
interesting. The hologram thing. And
all
the, yeah,
kinds.
It's just, I actually had one in my hand for one moment, and it didn't last long. But I remember thinking, maybe I should try to figure out a way to just, like, save this forever, because it's kind of cool when it's all new and everything.
Oh, you've got color-shifting ink, you've got holograms, you've got the embedded strip. I don't know if you ever hold those strips up to the, or the bills up to the light. Going down the bill, you'll see a strip in there, and it will, on a $100 bill, say $100.
Oh, I see.
That go, and they're in the 20s
and so forth.
But
that must be why people, when they're trying to check and make sure you didn't give them a counterfeit bill, they hold it up.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for.
That's what they're looking for.
I've done that before to pretend like I knew what I was like. It's kind of like when you smell wine, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's a nice bouquet. And you're like, I don't know what I'm smelling for. But it's so that's what you're looking at, then. There's actually a reason for that.
Yeah, they're looking for the strip in there.
Okay.
Because you can't counterfeit that.
Yeah.
You know? So it's one of the, because they, when they're making the paper, they have the fibers that are in there, and they have the strip that's in there, and you have the hologram now. And these are things that, as a counterfeiter, you can't copy. Now, the fibers you can because they'll photocopy, but the strip inside, you can't. The holograms don't come out. The color shifting ink. For example, you can't.
Color shifting ink.
Yeah.
That just sounds so, secret
when you
spy.
Different ways in the light, you see different colors on there.
Wow.
The detail, which you can't get on a good copy. And you look at some of the other things that are on there, they're really making it difficult for counterfeiters to be able to duplicate the bills. Another thing that I heard years ago. You take a regular bill, dollar bill, $20 bill, whatever. If you actually rub it on a piece of paper, you'll get green ink that comes off.
Really?
Whereas if you copy it as a counterfeiter, you can't do that.
Oh,
it won't come off because it's permanent.
Oh.
So it's very interesting the things that they do.
They have those brown pens that people draw on there with. And I always go, if it was counterfeit, what's supposed to happen?
They won't turn brown.
Oh.
And so then it's displays it as counterfeit, but the counterfeiters have a way around that. All you do is you spray the counterfeit bill with hairspray, and you put that pen on there, and it now shows it as a real bill. Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah. I know. I was trying to make a copy of a check, because we just keep track of, in my other job, we keep track of when somebody pays, we just have a copy of the check so we can reference it in case we need to go back and look. But I tried to do it in full color copy on the copy machine. Oh, no. It wouldn't let me do it. It kicked it out. It was like, you're not allowed. It's like, it's against the rules. I can't remember exactly the way they put it, but you can't copy this in full color. But it's some kind of protection in the check that you can't just copy it and think, you know. So
yeah, a lot of them, they will show void or something on it if you try to make a copy.
Yeah.
So
this one was where you couldn't even, it wouldn't even let you.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. You know, you try to come up with something and then the crooks come up with something to defeat it. And you have to come up with something new. And Yeah, it continues on.
Well, I hope we still have cash, though, because I like cash. I hope they don't ever do away with it, and we all have to be, you know, tracked by the bank for the rest of our... You know, like how they track... I always feel like I'm being tracked if I use just credit card or debit card, you know, so...
You know, that walks me into a very interesting topic here. Oh. The CFPB, which is, you know, that new consumer lending facility for Americans. One of the things that they're doing, these dollar lending places where you go.
Oh, yeah. The ones that have, like, you know, 36% interest or something like that.
Well, yeah. It's a way for people that don't have bank accounts or have bad credit. It's a way for an emergency when it comes up to go and borrow some money short term. Mm-hmm. And basically what they're trying to do, in essence, is to destroy that whole market or put them out of business, which that's not what they're designed to do. They're designed to put into effect rules and that to make the games fair. But in this case, what they're basically going to do is they're going to put this whole business, this whole industry out of business, and that's going to be devastating for a lot of people out there that can't get short-term loans.
Yeah, if they don't make an alternative.
Yeah, and as an example, you know, you need $100, so you go and you borrow $100, and if you pay it back in 2 weeks, you pay back $115. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to run that out over a year's period, you know, it's like 700% interest, but, you know, you're paying back $15 for the use of $100 for 2 weeks. You know, for many people, that's a fair exchange. Mm-hmm. I can't get the money anywhere else.
Right. My car's broken. I got to go to work.
Right.
Or I won't even have $100.
Exactly.
I can't get to work. Yeah.
And so I think they need to kind of watch what they're doing with their regulatory powers here, because certainly that's going to hurt a lot of people. But let's go ahead and get to the phone lines for the Money Talks quiz of the week, 330-370-1590. Three multiple choice questions and breakfast at Bob Evans, 330-370-1590. We're taking caller number Fast Fingers 3 today. We'll be right back.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks quiz of the week. And Sandy, who's our contestant?
Oh, we have Eileen. Hi, Eileen. You're on
Hello.
The air.
Hello.
Good morning, Eileen. How are you today?
Good morning. Fine.
Going to be trapped in the house today, huh?
I'm going to be reading books.
Well, that's a good thing to do.
Yes.
Anyway, are you ready for these very hard, difficult, encyclopedic questions?
I'm ready, but I hope they're not that hard.
After all that, I don't know.
Right.
I'm scared now.
All right. Eileen, my first question for you is, the prime rate today currently stands at 3.25%. I'd like to know what it was exactly 10 years ago. Was it 6%, 7%, or 8%?
I'll say 7%.
Actually, it was 6%.
Oh.
Yes.
You always assume the high number.
Well, you know, we're at 3.25. We've really gotten used to these lower prime rates, and 6, 7, 8%, that's more typical of what you would normally find. But it was 6% exactly 10 years ago today.
Okay.
My next question for you is, which of the following do you put on a bank savings account? Do you put a beneficiary? Do you put a POD, which is payable on death? Or do you put a TOD, which is a transfer on death?
Second one?
POD?
Yes.
Ah,
absolutely correct.
Oh, good.
Payable on death. And, Eileen, the last question I have for you is, how long does the typical $20 bill last? 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years?
I'll say 3 years.
Eileen, I just gave that information out.
Were you listening?
It's 4 years on a
$20
bill.
You didn't know there was going to be a quiz. Literally a quiz.
Right.
Yes. See, sometimes I bring in what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But 4 years is what the $20 bill lasts. 3 years on the $10 bill. So, yeah, you don't want a 10, you want a 20.
Okay.
Anyway, congratulations.
Thank you.
We're going to send you out, of course, your breakfast to Bob Evans. And I hope you somewhat get to enjoy this weekend.
Yes, you too.
All righty.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, I must admit that I was not paying as close of attention as I should have been. But, you know.
Well, what can you say?
Yeah.
As we look at this, one of the things that's interesting, yesterday there was a lot of volume in the market because the Russell was changing the index. They were adding and subtracting different companies to the index, and it just brought up something that every so often it's nice to know.
Okay, now the Russell is a stock index fund.
It's a stock index, you know, like the Dow Jones or the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ.
Okay.
You have the Russell, and you have the Russell 1000, 2000, 3000. But what I want to share is the original 12 companies that were in the Dow Jones in the late 1800s when it was first formed.
Oh, wow.
These are some names that are from the past. You have American Cotton Oil.
Oh.
You have American Sugar. You have American Tobacco. You have Chicago Gas. You have Distilling and Cattle Feeding. General Electric, which is a name we all recognize. Mm. You have Lockheed Gas. National Lead. Tennessee Coal and Iron, which is actually absorbed by U.S. Steel. You have North American. You have U.S. Leather. And you have U.S. Rubber.
So these all name products, like commodities, really.
These were names of companies.
Okay. But, I mean, like they talk about like leather and cotton and oil and gas.
Right.
So they name out what they do.
They did back then, yes.
Yeah.
You know, U.S. Rubber, for example, that became Uniroyal, which is now part of Michelin. Uh-huh. So these were the original 12 companies that were part of the Dow. And as you know, there are now 30 companies that make up the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And that kind of gives you an overall view of what's supposed to be happening out there in the market.
What I find interesting is that it is only 30 companies, because when you hear Dow, you think, oh, the Dow.
Yeah.
They say that every day, like the Dow is this, the Dow is that. You think it must be some enormous amount of different things.
I would much rather know what's going on with the S&P 500, which is 500 large cap companies. Like the Dow yesterday, the Dow was positive when the other two indexes were negative, and one of the reasons was because Nike was doing so well that it pulled up the Dow by about 30 points.
Ah.
And that's what you can kind of get. You can kind of get a misleading read on what's going on because of you only have 30 companies.
Now, isn't that interesting that that's the one that people usually, I mean, if I don't, even if you don't know anything about finance, but they usually give that as part of the news. They say the Dow is this or the Dow is that, and then we're all supposed to go, oh, I get that. It's kind of like that sniffing wine and you don't know what you're, it's like, what does that even mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And people have been doing that for years, you know, the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ, but people look at the Dow and it's just a barometer. It's just a measurement. And to me, it's not nearly as accurate or precise as the S&P or the Russell 3000, for example, or the Wilshire 5000, which is 5,000 of the largest companies in this country.
That's Wilshire.
Wilshire,
because I'm thinking of Warren Buffett.
Yes.
That's Berkshire, right?
That's Berkshire, yes.
Okay.
Berkshire Hathaway.
Okay. So if you want to sound like you really know about finance, you can just throw out that word, Russell. Well, you know the Russell 500.
Yes, absolutely. But another show has come to an end, and it's been a great pleasure to share the past hour with you. We always welcome the opportunity at Capital Financial Group to work with you as your personal financial advisor. Let us help you to eliminate the worry that comes along with what should you do, how should you set up your portfolios, how do you invest, what kind of allocation should you have, and so forth. We can help you with your financial planning or rolling over your 401k from a previous job. Give us a call. Our number is 330-668-6991. That's 330-668-6991. Thanks so much for having us in today. We'll see you next Saturday at 7 right here on Money Talks. Have a great week.
This has been Money Talks with Richard Peterson, President of Capital Financial Group. This program is informational only and should not replace a financial consultation before investing your money. Registered financial advisors are key toward a balanced and responsible financial policy. This has been a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its parent company, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.